Yeah.
What a savior. All right. I'm getting a squeal up here. Dar, turn me down a little bit, but you're, I don't know if it's coming out of the monitors or what it is, but I'm getting a feedback up here. All right. We're in Ephesians chapter 4. Your paper, if you have your old paper, it'll be, that's what it'll say on the top of it, Ephesians 4:13. And if you need one, hold your hand up. We got one for you. We hope we have enough, and we'll have one for you tonight, all right? Ephesians chapter 4, hold your hand up if you need a paper. All right. Ephesians 4:13-16. And we've not had Bible study on this since the 8th of July, so we'll go over just a little bit of review very quickly and then pick up where we can. There beside you, Tom, I think down there, Shayla on the end there. All right. Anybody else need a paper? All right. Give you just a little bit of guide to go through. All right. Let's pray together, can we? Father, we come tonight. And Lord, you are wonderful. There's no doubt about that. We sing about your blessed assurance. Lord, I'm glad that you save us for time and eternity. That we don't have to ever worry about it, that you take care of it, and you're complete, and you make us complete. And Lord, I pray tonight that we might praise you and magnify your name, for you are a wonderful Savior. There's no doubt about that. And you do so much for us. You're faithful when we feel good. You're faithful when we feel bad. You're faithful when we're burdened, and you're faithful when we're burden-free. You just can't be beat. And we sure do love you tonight. Now, Lord, I ask that you might speak to our heart. Let us see the seriousness of being one, seriousness of learning and abiding in truth. And then, Lord, I pray that we might magnify and glorify your name. Help us to be more like you. I thought of that song all day today. More like you, less like me. And God, help me to be more like you, I pray tonight. Cleanse me. Cleanse my mind, my heart. I don't want nothing in my life to be a hindrance. Lord, there's no doubt that I fail. I look at all these headings on these buckets, and Lord, there's so many things there in my own life. I ask you to take care of it, Lord. It's more than just sign on the rock, but I ask you to remove it from my life and help me through these troubled times in my own mind, my own heart. Help these young people. Help all the adults that's placed something in these buckets. And Lord, help us not to forget that you are our only hope tonight. You're all we got. And Lord, that's a plenty because you're enough. I'm so glad that you're enough. Now help us tonight to learn thy word. And we're going to appreciate it. And thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and amen. Now, we've been going very slow through Ephesians because there's so much meat there, and we're trying to get everything we can out of it. I don't know that we'll ever get all of it out, but we want to learn as much as we can. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, we know is a prison epistle, and it and Colossians need to be read together, if you would, when you think about it, no longer than it takes to read them. Colossians and Ephesians will be read in just very few minutes. And you can see the similarities to the two churches. And you can see the importance of some things that is almost identical. Over 70 times it says the same thing in both letters. And we need to think about that because the Lord's trying to get us to be a certain way. That we might know how we ought to act in the house of God, but how we ought to conduct ourselves one with another. Now, we've been looking at unity in the last couple of times we looked at this, seeing the oneness I want to remind you that this is a congregation. This is not the church. This is part of the church. This is a congregation of the body of Christ, a local congregation of the body of Christ. There's not but one body, and every born-again believer all over the world is part of that one body. It can't be more than one body. It has to be one body. There's not but one head. That one head is Christ. He is the head. He proved that and became the head when he raised from the dead. You'll read that in Colossians chapter 1. And then everyone that is saved is placed in the body by the work of the Holy Spirit of God, not by any works that we have, but by the works of the Holy Spirit of God. And he places us there for time and eternity, that we are part of his body. And we are separated, sanctified, separated unto the Lord, unto God, separated from the world unto God, sanctified. And then we're continually set apart until the day we see Christ and we are glorified, for it says we shall see him as he is and shall be like him. And that's when our glorification takes place, when we see Christ. You think of that. What a wonderful day that's going to be. Now, let's go back and read a little bit here in Ephesians chapter 4. And let's start at verse 1, and we can get the whole thing. We're going to read down through verse 16, okay? Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 1. Paul is writing this, of course, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. This is the Lord's word. It's all God's word. Every word, every punctuation, everything belongs to God. And Paul is holding the pen, all right? And it says here, Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, we're going to see a lot about that unity in the next 14 verses here. A lot about that. And very important, the oneness, all right, of the body of each of us. Verse 4 says then, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now we'll stop right there, and you'll notice it never says a body. It always says the body. Because it's only one. It's the body. It's the body of Christ. So remember that. You're saved. You're part of the body. Everybody in here that is saved tonight, everybody across the whole world, the whole globe, everybody that has been saved is in glory now, and everybody that is saved walking this earth now is part of one body. All right. And that's why we are supposed to be together. We're supposed to walk together in one mind, one accord. We're supposed to walk together with Christ. All right. In every aspect. Now look at our paper here just for a minute. And we covered the first couple paragraphs there. And we looked at all that scripture. But I want to maybe bring a couple things to your mind. Verse 13 says, till we all come in a unity of the faith. The faith. The faith. All right. Not a faith, but the faith. Till we all come. Now this, it shows us the length of the ministry till everybody comes up together. Our job, all right, our job is to bring everybody up together. It's important that we all come up and learn and grow together. All right. Mine and Rick's job as pastor and assistant pastor, teacher, all right, that is our job as a minister to bring you up, all right, to teach you that you can fulfill the work of Christ. It's not all the work of the church, all the work of the body is not for me and Rick. But it's us to instruct you that the whole body is working together. That everybody works together. All right? And when everybody works together, then things will be smooth, of course. The old saying, many hands make light work. All right? But I want to show you why it's important that we be together. So look in Acts chapter 1. Now, we're not going to look at all them scriptures again tonight, but I just want to run over a couple of them. Acts chapter 1. We go back to when the church started, if you would, and those that were used, if you would, those that were present when the church started. Acts chapter 1. And I want you to notice something. Now, we're going to find out that these people were praying. Their prayer did not start the church. Okay? Christ started the church. Their prayer didn't bring the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was a set time. Their prayer is not what brought the Holy Spirit to indwell them. Okay? That is the work of God, all right? But this is what they were doing when this took place. But I want you to notice the oneness, the togetherness here, the unity. Acts chapter 1, let's look at verse 14. These all continued with what? One accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So it's not just for men. But it's for all of us. It's all us together. The women, the men, we're all together. All right. Then verse 15 says, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. All right. So there was that many and they were together in one accord in prayer. Look over in chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. All right. Drop down to verse 44. Chapter 2, verse 44. And we'll look it down through 44 through 46. And it says, and all that believed were what? Together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods, part of them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with what? One accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And we'll go ahead and read verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So when we all come to the unity, back in Ephesians chapter 4 now, till we all come in the unity of faith, it's got to start with being together. All right, we got to be together and remember that we're one body, all right? Now, when we come together in the unity of the faith, all right, now this is not the faith to pray, all right? You need to have faith when you pray, sure, but that's not what we're talking about. You need to have faith when you serve, but that's not the faith we're talking about here, all right? But it's the faith. When we all come in the unity of the faith, the same precious faith, like precious faith. All right? The doctrine of God, the word of God. All right? Turn to Jude. Turn to Jude. And this is what we're supposed to be together on. If we'll stay together on the Word and in the Word, then we'll be together when we walk and when we talk. All right, Jude verse 3 says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Now, the faith there is the same faith we're talking about here in Ephesians. It's the faith. Right? It's not a faith to pray in. It's not a faith to serve in, but it's the faith. It's the faith. All right? It is the truth, the gospel, the doctrine of Christ. While we're back here, look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. I mean, mentioned this just a second ago. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Says, "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." See, a lot of times we want unity and we want everybody to be like us. Alright? But that is, the scripture does not teach that we're all like one another, but that we're like Christ. Alright? If we try to be like one another, we're gonna mess up. Alright, we need to look and try. He is our example. Now, we are supposed to be examples, sure. We're an example to a certain extent. But Christ is our example. And us being one together like Christ with His Word is what's gonna make the difference. Because it's the body, it's Christ that matters. It's the head who is directing us, all right? So that's going to put away any big eyes or little U's. That's going to put away anybody looking down their nose at someone. We just had 30-some saved here in the last week and a half, okay? That's wonderful. Can I tell you, they're no less of the body than somebody that's been, if I look over the congregation here tonight, Carolyn may be the oldest Christian, been saved the longest than anybody in here, right at it anyway. The ones that was saved in the last week and a half are no less of the body than what she is, even though she's been in a long time. It don't work that way. The experience, oh, that's great, and the maturity may be a vast difference in the way she lives for the Lord. Okay, but as far as being a different part of the body, no. No, it's still part of the same body, just as much important as anybody else. Alright, even if they got saved today, there's people that's got saved today. Alright, they're no different than one that was saved 95 years ago. They're no different than Paul, the Apostle Paul. They're no different than them. Paul is no greater a part of the body than we are as far as being a part of the body. Now, what he done is far greater than anybody I've ever known. Okay, as far as his works go. But that don't make him a better part of the body. Now, he may be an eye. I may be a hangnail. Alright? That may be a difference there, but I'm still part of the body. Okay? But that's the way I'm looked at. I'm part of the body. So the weakness is not what we're concerned with. That unity, it only comes through the new birth, being saved, and then we come together. All right? Everybody understand that. Now, let's look again here, verse 13. It says, "Till we all come in unity of the faith." All right? Now, if you read this, "Till we all come in unity of the faith." We all come together. We come together in a unity of faith, then we come together in something else. "And of the knowledge of the Son of God." So we come together in unity of the faith, the gospel, the Word of God. Then we come together in the knowledge of the Son of God. It's more than just believing. Now, it's being, and more than just being saved. But now we come together, learning and becoming what he teaches us about love and compassion and his example on how to live with him. All right, we're growing now. All right, Paul's writing to the church Ephesus. We're growing. Everybody, we're growing up. All right, it's good to be saved, right? Yes. But now, if just being born is not enough. If a baby's born and don't grow, then there's concern. It's the same way with us in the body of Christ. We're to grow. And as we grow and mature spiritually, all right, we're going to try to come closer with Christ, love, compassion, his example, right, how to live with him, and how to live with one another. Can I tell you that living with him, if it's just me and him, and there's nobody else around, it may not be too bad. Right? If there's nobody else around, if we're somewhere in a cave and just me and the Lord, we might get along pretty good. But that ain't the way it is. I'm supposed to get along with the Lord the same way when you're by me. All right? When you get by me, well, you're a different part of the body, but you're still part of the body. All right? So we're supposed to get along. Now, my stomach is part of my body, right? Sometimes my stomach gets upset. I got to take medicine for the part that upsets me. Right? But it's still part of my body. And I got to learn to live with the part that upsets me. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
But I don't want to take my stomach out. Okay? I need my stomach. My stomach is vitally important. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take what's necessary to keep my stomach from being upset. Are you following me tonight? Because I'm part of the body. Part of the body. So I'm going to learn love and compassion and his example. Okay? So now let's look at it back in chapter 3, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ. The knowledge of the Son of God, I'm going to first have to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. All right? How about this? Go back to 1 Corinthians. Does everybody follow me tonight? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. First Corinthians chapter 14, look at verse 20. Now this is what we're learning as the knowledge of the Son of God. All right, brethren, be not children in understanding. All right, we're going to come together in the knowledge of the Son of God, so we're going to do more than just understand like a child. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children. I wonder why that would be there. In malice, when we have a problem with another, then we'd be like children because they're mad for a second and it's done. All right? Talk to me. Is that not right? So in understanding, we need to grow up, but in malice, we need to not grow up. All right? But in understanding, be men. All right? Now that's going to happen when we come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Everybody still with me there? Look over in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Now that's the church, and of the Father and of Christ. So we're talking about coming together in the knowledge of the Son of God. All right, so we're seeing, we're growing up. Is everybody following me there? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 18. It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now that's a continual growth. I will never arrive. I will never quit growing. Right? We'll mature as we go, but we'll never learn it all. We'll never be perfect in this life, because we're always moving. We're supposed to always be moving up, getting closer and closer, learning more and more, being more and more like him, an example. All right, then we can be that example to others. But it's the Christ in us that we want them to see. Like I said there earlier, about I may have even when I was praying, I've been on my mind today, more like him, less like me. Somebody last week kept talking about he must increase, I must decrease. He must increase, I must. He must increase. He must. I must decrease. More him. The closer I get to him, the more I'm going to be like him. Now, you'll see this. If you are around someone all the time, all right, if you ride to work with someone right side by side for long hours, day after day, you'll get to where you talk like that person. You'll say things like that person says. Little things, little cliches, little words that they say, you'll find yourself saying. Little expressions, you'll have the same expression the more you're with them. It's the same way with Christ. The closer we get, the more we spend time with him, the more we'll act like him. We'll talk like him. We'll have little things we say like him, because that's the way it works. All right, we're not going to change him because he's perfect. So he's not going to act like us ever. Okay? But we will learn from him and act like him. All right? And you'll find that when people go south, they'll start having a southern accent. All right, and when they it's a funny thing though that you know most West Virginians don't change their talk. You know, they almost haven't. Maybe that's why. Right? But when people come here, they change their talk. But when we go there, we still talk the same way, because they'll say, "Where are you from?" Anyway, you know, is that not right? Well, that is that not the way it ought to be? Should they not? Should not the world ask us, "Where are you from?" Anyway. What are you? What's different about you the way you speak? Shouldn't that be right? Back to Ephesians. All right? Are we still okay? Hey, let's not forget 1 John 5:20. Let's grab it. 1 John 5:20. And we're talking about this knowledge of God, this understanding, this coming to know Christ. Okay? Now, can I remind you that we're going to get in next week. We'll probably get in verses 17 through, and we're going to see how to start walking as a Christian. And everything we're discussing is normal Christianity. None of this is super Christianity. This is all the normal. This is how everyone's supposed to be. This is not everybody dotting every I and crossing every T and hitting every nail on the head. I mean, this is what we're all supposed to be doing, how we're all supposed to be living, how we're all supposed to be walking, because we are in one body with one head. I cannot stress that enough, that we're one body and one head, all right? Because we would not intentionally, on a purpose, lay our thumb down there and take a hammer and smash our own thumb on a purpose. All right. If it's done, it's not done on a purpose. All right. So when we hurt part of the body, it should never be on purpose. You understand? Because we're one body. It may happen. Okay. But it's not supposed to happen. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. For what? That we may know who. That's the important part. That we know him. That we know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. Even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. All right. That's a wonderful verse. That's a good verse when people come and try to give you false doctrine right there. That is a good verse. Now, we come together in the unity of the faith. We come together back in Ephesians chapter 4. Is everybody with me tonight? Now, we're trying to be slow and simple here and try to get everything we can out of this. Because this is how the Word of God is how we grow. You don't grow through preaching. You grow through the Word that's preached. You don't grow through singing. You grow through the words. The spiritual songs and hymns, all right? You don't grow through praying, all right? But you grow through the one you're praying to, all right? Because people praying don't know God, all right? So you can't say that praying does it. It's who we pray to, how we believe. Everybody follow me? It's still Christ. It's all Christ. Now, let's still go back to verse 13, still there. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Well, how far? Unto a perfect man. All right? Unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, this perfect man, all right, it's written the believer at the beginning. All right? It's going to show our immaturity. And we're going to grow up to the perfect man. Our standard here is Christ. The stature, okay? Everybody see? Unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ is to be like Him. Everybody follow me? My goal is not to be like my daddy. I believe my daddy was a good man. I believe he was a Christian man. But that's not my goal. My papa was a good man. But my goal is not to be like my papa. My goal, my purpose, all right, is to be like Christ. Does it not tell us in Romans that we are being conformed unto His image? Is that not what the purpose is? Talk to me. We're being conformed to His image, not one another's image. We're being conformed to His image. And it takes a lot. Can you agree to that? Let's look back again at 1 Corinthians. I think we read it there a while ago. Let's read it again. 1 Corinthians 14:20. It says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children." That's a good verse for you to mark. All right? "Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." Okay? And we're growing up. We're getting out of this immaturity. All right. How many times do we tell our children when they act a certain way, grow up? Grow up. We've even made that comment about others that are adults. Won't they grow up? All right. Why? Because of the way they understand things. All right. Everybody follow me? All right. Now, this immaturity that we're growing out of, to a perfect man. We're unto a perfect man. We'll stay immature when there's lack of study. When there is lack of prayer. We've got to have this Bible. We've got to have this Bible. You're not going to grow without this Bible. You're not going to learn without this Bible. You're not going to understand without this Bible. You're not going to do it. You're not going to walk straight without this Bible. You're not going to do it. And you say, "Well, I have trouble reading." God understands that. He remembers we're but dust. He don't deal with us according to our iniquities. All right? His grace is sufficient in every need. All right? And He's dealt every man a measure of faith. And we can believe a little verse, the same as we can believe 10 big verses. All right? Everybody follow me? Think about that. The Lord will take up a slack. But we're not going to grow without prayer and this book. And just like they asked the old preacher, which is more important, reading your Bible or praying? He said, which is more important, breathing in or breathing out? Right. So it's got to go together. All right. Now, can you still be saved and not read your Bible? Yeah. That ain't got nothing to do with being saved. Can you be saved and not pray? Yes. But it would be a miserable life. You know, it would be a miserable life. When I read, He speaks to me. When I pray, I speak to Him. it forms a relationship. I read, he speaks to me. I pray, I talk to him. I read, he speaks to me. And we're having a conversation. We're having a relationship. Right? Then I'll find that we're walking together. We're taking walks together. Where are we taking walks? We're taking walks together in the world. In a dark and dismal world, he is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Huh? Then we'll find ourselves eating together. Because he'll say, taste and see. Huh? And his word is sweet. And we'll find ourselves walking together, eating together, conversation together, when that's reading your Bible and praying. Are you understanding? That's why many don't have that relationship. That's why he's not personable. Because we are missing out on the Word of God, on praying and reading, and then that walking together, that communion. All right? Are we still okay? All right? Now, what we must look about, we'll find out here in verse 14, when we get there, it says, unto a perfect man, in verse 13, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, we must grow, because if not, we're going to be led out into false doctrine. Okay? Cults and being enticed by flair and fun and excitement. Things that'll draw the flesh like they draw us before we ever got saved. Alright? Now, the more I know him, the more I'm going to be able to spot false doctrine. Alright? Brother Rick told us many, many times that when they teach how to find counterfeit, they don't show you counterfeit. They show you the real thing and let you study the real thing. Then the more you study the real thing, when the counterfeit comes across, you notice it quickly. That's what's important about praying, reading this Bible. You say, well, I just have a hard time reading. If you're just saved, read the Gospel of John. Read the Gospel of John. Read it through. After you read it through, go back and read it again. After you read it the second time, go back and read it again. Read it through at least three times. At least three times. Alright? After you've read it a third time, you'll come out of that knowing more than you ever thought you could retain. Because that book tells you that Jesus is God, and God will become real in your heart when you read about who he is. And that's what this scripture is talking about. Till we all come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are we okay with that? Everybody understand that? Let's go back to James for a moment. James chapter 1. Now the reason we got to try to come into the knowledge of Christ is because what will take place in our life without this word, without prayer in this Bible, this is what's going to take place in our life. Look in verse 14. But every man is tempted. Can I hear an amen there? Yes. Every man is tempted. But look how he's tempted. When he is drawn where? We forget that temptation is going to come, but we got to be careful that we're not drawn away. Alright, they were not drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That's why we need to come to the knowledge of the Son of God. The more we know about him. Does everybody understand what I'm saying tonight? Talk to me. Now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. And to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ, our example. The measure of his stature. Alright, we're going to grow in love. The character of Christ and what he is, who he is, until we become like him. He is our example. Again, not another Christian. Not another Christian. Don't set your sights on being like somebody else. All right? Don't do that. All right? But set your sight on Christ. He's our standard. The stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay? Let's go back to 1 Peter. Chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Is everybody with me?
Yes.
If I can, I'd like to finish this pay. I don't think I'm going to get to it. Let's look at it. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. All right? Let's flip back on over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. See, he's our example, being like Christ. You understand that? Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Let's drop down to verse 13. And we're talking about being like Christ, our example. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So we forgive like Christ. Right? Let's look over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Again, we see an example here. He's the standard. Philippians 2:5. We still okay? Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's his mind. We don't need nobody else's mind. I definitely don't need mine. Huh? My mind is corrupt. Huh? But let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Now, let's go back now. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll finish up right here in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. See, we're maturing. Is everybody seeing that? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the growing up. We're growing up. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, all right, not feeble or gullible, all right. Children don't have convictions, all right. Children can be bought off. Alright. You can get a sucker out of the hand of a kid with an empty box if you make them think there's something in that empty box. They're gullible. Are they not? Huh? And then when they trade, they'll look in the box and they cry. They're disappointed. Well, that's the way the world goes. They all from an empty box. Alright. Because they're gullible. So it says we're not to be that way. We're not to be henceforth no more children. All right? Not feeble, not gullible. And then it says, tossed to and fro. We're not to be shaken, disturbed, or bothered. All right? We need to grow up that things don't shake us. All right? What was that for Carl? What was the name of y'all's team?
Unshaken.
And what?
Unshaken.
Unshaken. Huh, imagine that. Unshaken. I believe y'all won.
We did.
The unshaken wins.
That's right.
Huh? The unshaken wins. All right? Shaken. Disturbed. We don't be that way. We don't be shaken and disturbed, bothered. Constantly changing but not learning. The scripture even says ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. All right? Carried about with every wind of doctrine. All right. We got to be very careful. Hebrews 13:9. Again, none of this is possible without Christ. Hebrews 13:9 says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Now, Brother Rick tells us this quite frequently, that when we're looking at the doctrine of Christ, it's always singular. But when you see it plural, it's not of Christ. It's the doctrines of the world. But when you see it singular, it's talking about the truth, Christ. And it says here, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them, have been occupied therein, that have been occupied therein. All right? So we got to be, we're not to be carried about with these strange doctrines, all right? By the sleight of men, it says. We better be careful. There's deceivers, slick talkers, false teachers. Huh? They'll sound good. They'll sound good. And they'll suck you right in. Huh? And just like fishing. You boys, y'all fish. And y'all put that spinner on. And you keep throwing it. And you keep throwing it. And it's shiny. And you'll run it right over his nose, and finally he just can't take no more. He grabs it, but when he grabs it, he's hooked. And when a hook comes pain, all right? Think about that. We'll stop right there, and we'll pick up on the sleight of men next week. Is everybody okay? All right, let's grow up. Let's come together, all right, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, we'll look at 15 and 16 next week. I'll give you a new paper next week, starting in verse 17. And I encourage you to go ahead and read through chapter 4, because we're going to be looking at some things on our walk with Christ. Our walk with Christ. Okay? Everybody all right? Let's pray together. Father, I come just now. And Lord, the needs that we have are so great. And Lord, we are in so many different stages here in the church. We look around and we have seasoned Christians. We have new Christians. We have middle of the road. We have some leaning to the left, some leaning to the right. We struggle. We're weak at times. All of us have down times. All of us will have mountaintop times. And we find we can't do none of us without you. We got to have you. So, Father, I pray that this word will be real in our heart and our mind, that we'll walk the way you want us to walk, like you tell us, that we might be good examples of Christ. More like you, less like me. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.